Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you whenever and wherever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting live from the studios of eloquentonline.net in rainy New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and a long, long walk, but a short drive if you're driving one of those cars from the Furious 7 in Charleston, South Carolina, keeping life simplified. The Chief Operating Officer of South Carolina Federal Credit Union, Tough Talking Troy. Hi, buddy.
Hey there, and I'm glad you talked about Fast and Furious. I feel like The Rock today.
I do, too. I saw it. I saw it last Saturday. I'm not sure if you're supposed to go see Fast and the Furious on Holy Saturday, but I did, and I actually enjoyed it about 1 million times more than Foxcatcher and Birdman. So I was pretty happy to see that movie, a good movie for a change.
Well, good. It's certainly right up your educational style.
Yes, it was very, very low key. Didn't take a lot of thought and brain power to watch that.
Nope.
But speaking of brain power, today we're talking about, the name of the show today is Cash, Check, or Charge. 30 years ago, Troy, I worked at Windsor Park Mall at Endicott Johnson's shoe store. And for my fellow seniors in the graduating class of 1985, I had what was considered a great job. I didn't work fast food. I worked at the mall, where the girls were, where the food was, where I wore a shirt and tie to work every day. And that would be my question when people bought a pair of shoes. How would you like to pay for this? Cash, check, or charge? And so today we're going to talk about, gosh, we've moved so far from that. Payment systems, mobile banking, Apple Pay, Google Pay, stuff I'm not sure I understand.
Well, you know, and what's really interesting is that for the last 50 years, we have been embroiled in this whole change within our industry regarding the digitization and the modern and the mobilization of our system. And I saw this snippet through the Credit Union magazine, and they referenced a 1962 New York Times headline that says, "Pocket computer may replace shopping list."
Wow.
Inventor says device could tell grocery in advance what customer needs.
And that was
amazing,
in 1962.
And that was 1962, and that was pre-ATMs that came out in the 70s and 80s.
Pre-everything. I mean, mobile banking used to be the drive-up. That used to be something that when I worked at the bank in the mid-90s, we used as one of the features and benefits of our bank. You can save time by using the drive-up, which, by the way, Troy, was not true on most Friday afternoons. You would actually waste time in the drive-up on Friday sitting in lines that sometimes were 10 and 15 deep up in Midland, Texas. Well, you and I have been around a while. Our guest today is going to talk to us about a new training system about healing what I think just naturally occurs. I always go back to this, but we had Diana Dykstra, the president of the California Credit Union League, on our show, gosh, 5 years ago, and she talked about how people were not asking for internet banking. Nobody was demanding internet banking back in 1995, but 5 years later in 2000, we all had it. And now when I think of...
You are exactly right. Because the way it also works is this. I've often said this. If you survey your consumers only who do business with you, you would never innovate. Because they don't want any change. They don't want anything different. I like everything exactly the way it is.
Absolutely.
You have
right.
to survey the marketplace for the consumers you're looking for in order to understand how to innovate.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. And today when I think of internet banking, to me it almost sounds like 8-track banking. I have not logged on to my computer and then logged in to my internet banking, gosh, at least maybe once this year when the mobile app was down. And it's something I used to do every single day. And we've talked about it on the show before, that the time signature in the marketplace is changing. When you can, as I did today, by the way, transferred money from my savings account to my checking account in a rainstorm, taking the exit ramp off 35 to my home after dropping off at school, that is a game changer. And what often happens in that situation is that there are people that feel left behind, Troy. And I saw this with my own eyes on Tuesday. I was at my son's school, and there was a grandparent there. The seventh graders at my son's school do a trip to the San Antonio Zoo. And the parental consent form, which I'm sure you've signed plenty of because you're a parent and a grandparent.
I have done that.
Yes. Well, this consent form is available online in something called RenWeb. And every student at the school has an iPad, and ostensibly every parent has access to an iPad or the internet. Well, this was this parent walking around the school who did not have the ability to download that form and sign it, and was kind of panicked because here it is, the day of the field trip, and the kid can't go if there's not a parental consent. And so, of course, the teacher comes, oh, let's go to the office. We'll print out a form. You can sign it right there. No harm, no foul. And it really made me think about, you know, my wife and I, we're both in our 40s, but we're only one car accident away from my father-in-law being the official legal guardian of our only child. And
well, you know, the interesting thing is that you might think and apply that and say, what is it that is going to show up like that for you?
Right.
And think now about that before it gets
yes.
there and
exactly.
see what would you need to do in order to prepare yourself so that you aren't that person who's standing around wondering, like, how something has passed you by.
Well, and I think that's what GTE is doing. We're going to talk to Suzanne Johnson. She's a senior talent developer out at GTE Financial. They've got a new training program coming up to help the team at GTE Financial talk to people who I think are in a very different demographic than mine about the things that are changing in the marketplace, the generational changes that are taking place. And we're going to go to Suzanne right after this. I love that line. Another suburban family morning. I had another one of them this very morning in the rain. Her name is Suzanne Johnson. She joins us live now from the headquarters of GTE Financial out in Tampa, Florida. Hey, Suzanne, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much. And it is a beautiful
Hey, listen, you and I had a chance to talk earlier this week, but for folks mm-hmm. on our national audience that don't know a lot about GTE Financial, a lot about you, tell us about you and your career with GTE Financial.
Okay. So my name is Suzanne Johnson. As Jason said, I am a senior talent developer here with GTE Financial. I'm coming up on my three-year anniversary in July. It's been an amazing 3 years. And however, even though I've been an employee for almost 3 years, I have been affiliated with this particular credit union my entire life, since literally I was born, as my mom was an employee here for 40 years. So I have literally been a part of this organization. It raised me. And I'm very loyal, very dedicated to this amazing credit union that's been around for 80 years. We are celebrating our 80th year in business this year.
Wow.
Yep.
That is cool.
Congratulations.
Very, very, very cool. Very, very cool. 80 years.
Well, you certainly have a great connection with what I call the, get it together every day, or the got it together every day program that you have here at GTE Financial. And I understand that you guys are doing a little bit of extra training. That could it be that you have a generational hiccup somewhere in the process?
Mm-hmm. We do have a generational hiccup. So, GTE Financial, since the 60s, we have been on the cutting edge of technology. We have offered many types of technology to our members that really our competitors just are not offering. And right at this point in time, we are in the process of transitioning over to an interactive teller machine. So some people call it a virtual teller, but it really has changed the entire landscape of the way we do business. And when we first launched this particular technology, we did have resistance. I mean, think about it. We've been around for 80 years. We have members who are literally 90 years old and yep. to 9 years old. So we found that with this this generational gap here, the older members were a bit resistant to, and as you mentioned earlier, they just, you know, they don't, we move their cheese, if you will, and they were a little unhappy about that. So we've had to really reflect upon how are we going to help those members who feel uncomfortable with the new technology, who are not embracing it because we did move their cheese, and how are we going to help restore their trust and confidence in the work that we do for them so that they aren't apprehensive or hesitant or angry about using new technology that they feel so uncomfortable with.
Well, I'll tell you what, people are going to be...
Before, ahead, Jason, Troy, before you go on, I want to just follow up and ask her on this. Okay, so with your with you understanding that you have this situation, so will you be focusing efforts? Do you focus efforts on the employee as well as the consumer when it comes to learning and the way it comes to transition, helping the employees to better understand the feelings that affect the attitudes and beliefs and perceptions of the mm-hmm. consumer?
Yeah, absolutely. We, in fact, as we launched these interactive teller machines, we did notice that our employees were kind of beside themselves because they weren't really, they had never experienced a type of transition like that. So the resistance that they got from the members really threw some of them off guard. And so we're going to be, and actually starting next week, the week after the 21st, we're starting a workshop called Healing Member Relationships. And this is going to be a four-hour workshop to give our employees the tools, the skills, and the behavior change necessary to work with those members who are just beside themselves with the technology changes. And it's not going to just be for this particular change in technology that we've had. We're going to constantly be changing as the rest of the world is, so this will help mm-hmm. also prepare them for future changes that are coming in the way of technology.
Yeah,
great.
I think it's brilliant. I mean, there's simply a fundamental change going on in the banking marketplace, and it seems like it's happening faster and faster. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I know I shouldn't, and I'm not suggesting that anybody is using their mobile banking app while driving down the road in a Hyundai Sonata at 65 miles per hour in the rain. But there was a day when that kind of transaction wasn't even possible. It didn't even exist. And so I talked about this on the show 2 weeks ago, how I was at Starbucks and there was a person much older than me paying for their coffee with their phone. I've still never done that. So it's not always that everybody in one generation is adopting a new technology or everybody in this generation has already been using it. I think we simply have two core groups in the marketplace right now. That 2-4 time, that key signature change, that time signature change. You have the people like my father-in-law who lives next door to me that has never owned a computer, that has never owned a cell phone for that matter. He goes and gets $180, $200 in cash every Monday at Randolph Brooks Federal Credit Union here in New Braunfels, and that's how he pays for everything for the week. And if he walked into the credit union here in New Braunfels next week and found there was not a person there but a machine he had to talk into, I'm sure you would find that disruptive to his habits and his transactional expectations. But as an owner of the credit union, you want your credit union to save money where it can, to be efficient, to be operationally sound, and it sounds like GTE, like a lot of credit unions, trying to find that right balance. I love that. Generational hiccup. Mm-hmm. How do we find that? How do we find the right balance, Suzanne?
Well, we know that we do have a group of members who are very self-sufficient. They're the people who are using online, even though I know that that is even changing when we're using
right.
our smartphones and our iPads and tablets. And those people, you know, they love using live chat. They love the efficiencies. They are in a fast-moving world themselves, and they want to handle their business in a fast and efficient way.
Right.
And then we have the other side of the coin where the members want that face-to-face person. They want to literally reach out and touch somebody because that's all they know. And so we are finding to balance that out, it requires, one, a lot of patience on our side, right? Because we have to take the time to really
right.
educate these members who are resistant to the changes. And our goal is to have them accept and get on board and buy into their own self-sufficiency so that they aren't relying on that person who will really ultimately slow their world down, because it takes longer to do those types of transactions versus doing a transaction with the latest technology. So we're all about the educational piece, and we spend a lot of time educating our members and having those conversations with them. But more so than that, it's about the relationship. When you can build that relationship with those members, they trust you. And when they have that trust, they're more likely to say, yeah, I'll try it. Let me give it a try. And once we let them do it and we kind of help them through that process, they buy into it and they're really excited about it. And they, what they thought they couldn't do, they find they can do, and it really empowers them to be self-sufficient.
So, you know, one of the schools of thought out there, and I know Jason's going to ask you a question in a second. I think he's got something on cash credit and check he wants to ask. But I want to just zero back in a little bit more on how we work with the consumer to increase their adoption rate of what they actually do with the credit union regarding this mobile or digital solution.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the schools of thought is that, well, you really just promote the benefits of the services. But what it sounds to me is that it's more than just promoting the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually changing the behavior through education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
Absolutely. And we have found that by literally walking to an interactive teller machine or showing people how to use their smartphones, their smart device, how do you download the apps, and walking them through that process, they just want a little bit of support and guidance so that they don't feel really foolish or stupid that they can't handle how to do those types of functions. Because, I mean, I think at the end of the day, my perspective is that it boils down to fear. They're afraid of not being able to do it, and then how will I look? And so we really guide them through that process, and they appreciate that, and they don't feel like they're there just kind of fumbling through the process and feeling lost.
Wow. Okay. That is absolutely true. Hey, we're visiting with Suzanne Johnson. She is a senior talent developer out at GT Financial. We're talking about the new, the truly multi-generational marketplace in which so many of us do business every day. In the past month, I've filled out a deposit slip at my bank. I have called them on the 1-800 number. I've used the mobile app. We're all trying to find the perfect balance. I've got one last question for Suzanne, then Troy will wrap it up, and we'll wrap it up right after this.
Man, when I'm listening to The Power of Performance, I just can't decide who's hotter, Jason or Troy.
Well, you can't tell.
It's a tough thing to consider who is hotter, Jason or Troy, but what is not tough to consider is that the marketplace is rapidly changing. Again, time signature from 4-4 time to 2-4 time. Cutting the time signature in half is what I'm convinced is happening. But 30 years ago, Suzanne, like I said, I was working at the mall, and I would ask that question, cash, check, or credit? And nowadays, everything has changed. You can pay for things a zillion of different ways. It sounds to me like what you guys are really doing with this training, and of course modernizing the community financial centers. I went and visited one when I was out there in November, and you have a place where there's literally every mobile device available to people. So if folks use an iPad or they use a certain kind of smartphone, you can at least show them how to access the brand. It really sounds like GT Financial is setting itself up to be a stone cold 2020 brand and beyond. Tell us a bit about that.
Oh, I would love to. So first I want to say we have an amazing a team of technology experts. They're not only building better, bigger, faster, stronger applications for our members, but they also stay on top of all the latest research and offerings, and they look for ways to incorporate the new technology into our member experience. Now, I don't know what the future holds as far as technology. It changes, as you mentioned, Jason, it changes so rapidly. Day to day, it's changing. You know, I just upgraded my iPhone, and then, you know, 2 months later, oh, got a new version out. So it's just changing so fast. But many of our members do use our technology. They're using their credit cards or debit cards, and now we just switched over to Apple Pay.
Yep.
And like I said, it moves so quickly. It's very difficult to predict what's going to be changing. However, we always make room for technology changes because we're progressive, and we keep our eyes and ears open for the changes, and we look for ways to incorporate those changes into the way we do business, provided it's going to improve the member experience. And
Boom.
That's what it boils down to for us. We want the technology to improve the member experience. I mentioned before, since the 60s, GTE Financial has been on the cutting edge of technology, and oftentimes we introduce new technology before our competitors, such
right.
as I mentioned, the interactive teller machine and Apple Pay. That will not change, and we are paving the way for that future by keeping an open mind, doing our research, and staying on top of the latest technology, provided it's going to serve our members well.
Yeah, and realistically, what you talk about is an opportunity to bridge the fundamental difference between the way individuals process information and the way they prefer to have their business conducted. And you're taking this, what we referred to earlier, this generational hiccup, and you're saying, okay, how do I build trust? How do I bridge whatever might be occurring between the concepts of those individuals who are more likely to use the technology available today and those who have no experience with that? And you're building that trust through education. And
mm-hmm.
instead of posing the question, does it make sense, what you are doing is helping people make sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds as though you are looking
Absolutely.
To a process that we sometimes refer to as adaptive learning, or when we have learning organizations, and those are organizations that really embrace the opportunity for folks to be open-minded
mm-hmm.
and to consider things that they may not have considered before. I was working with an employee the other day. We were having a little mentoring session, and I said to them, one of the things where you are now finding yourself is that you are not operating just in the realm of what I already know that I don't know, but to move yourself to where you want to go, you must now operate in the I don't know what I don't know,
mm-hmm.
so that you are teachable and able to get to. If you approach every conversation as though it's always about the safety of what I know that I don't know, then you won't have an opportunity for growth and development. And so what you're doing is you're creating a process by which you can have individuals consider, I don't know what I don't know, and now
mm-hmm.
I have to figure it out. And
mm-hmm.
it is challenging, but it is the necessary part to have learning occur and the transformation that will occur from learning. So really
mm-hmm.
awesome, really, really great stuff.
It is. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Suzanne,
I had the
opportunity to listen back to, for folks who don't know, we do a weekly internal podcast for GTE Financial. But when I listened back to the show from Tuesday, my first thought was, I wish I'd had more time to go into more of the macroeconomic or the global implications of all this. And that's why I was like, oh, wait. I do have an opportunity to do that. Troy and I have a show every Friday. And it amazes us that people are still willing to come on with less than 24 hours notice. We were joking this morning, well, we can always wing it. We wing it all the time on this show.
Well.
Yeah, but seriously, I think this is a fundamental conversation that every brand, not just banking brands, every brand has to start having with its audience. How do we find the right balance between the handshake and the hashtag, the technology and the in-person? And like I said, it feels like it's been cut into two. It's just two different things you have to figure out. And that, to me, is the easiest way to find balance. If you're only trying to weigh those two things out, I promised you'd be off by 20 minutes after the hour, and here we are 25 minutes after the hour. But that's how it goes on the show. Troy and I talk a lot, which is why it's even harder to explain why you've been on the air for so long. But we want to thank you for being such a gracious and generous and just authoritative guest on training and the importance of continually looking for ways to improve that member relationship through proactive training and offerings and stuff like that. You've been an absolute joy, and thank you so very, very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jason.
All right. Suzanne Johnson, everybody. Really, really.
Bye, Suzanne. Have a great day.
All right, I've got a list of quote keepers here. I'm going to be driving people on Twitter crazy this afternoon with all of these things. But Troy, I got to tell you something. How many shows have you and I done? I mean, how many? I mean, I don't even know.
Almost 6 years worth. So
hundreds of shows.
Number.
Hundreds of shows. Today was the first time in all of those shows, because I call in first, that you and Suzanne, your numbers popped up at exactly the same time. I've never seen that happen before.
I appreciate you picking her up first then, because that made it much easier.
I didn't know that could happen. I thought it had to kind of come in order, but they both happened at exactly the same time. And I got this sense with 3 minutes left on the show that we were going to have great chemistry and symmetry on the show today. I know you love this topic because you're involved in all of this at your credit union. You're dealing with technology, but you're also dealing with in-person transactions and drive-up transactions and ATM transactions and collections and proof and everything involved in banking. And you've been alive long enough to witness this amazing transformation. I know you love this subject.
I do. And the one thing I will tell you that really resonates when you listen to Suzanne when she speaks about it is being true to the brand and being true to the way you're going to offer the brand. That's another way that you build trust, because trust is built through truth and honesty. And although you cannot be everything to everyone, what you need to do is to make sure that you are being fair and honest in your representation of who you are with everyone. You're not going to please everyone. There's no way that she is going to solve, no matter how much education you do, that everyone will be completely satisfied with this, and folks will make some changes and they will move around. The reality is that you also, once you put your stake in the ground, you have to stick to it, because that's one of the reasons why GTE is a very powerful and successful organization, is because they have a stake in the ground and they have stuck to it. And it's not saying that they are doing it callously in order to eliminate the consumer, but the reality is they've said, this is what we need to do. These are the owners we are looking for in order to move forward. And I find that to be an interesting perspective, which we might be able to spend more time on another time.
Is that
our credit union strong enough to actually choose their owners instead of being victims of the owners that have chosen them?
Wow. Again, another quote keeper. Absolutely right. And of course, think about it. They were GTE Telephone Credit Union during their 80-year trajectory. And think about it. I first accessed the internet through a telephone line, a dial-up 26 kPS modem. So in some ways, they are culturally connected.
Yeah, you remember that sound?
Oh, yeah. You've got mail.
Yep, there's your modem.
Back when Tom Hanks and that other person were still. Anyway, hey, listen, we got a minute left. I love generational shows. I love shows like this. You and I both have done and do a lot of training, and I have no doubt that many credit union brands that listen to this show are dealing with exactly the same thing. How do we find the right balance between the in-person transaction and the mobile transaction? It's almost like internet banking, like I said, has become A-Track. It's just it's almost in that cash a check department. Hey, buddy, we got 25 seconds left. From the holy city of Charleston, South Carolina, where even when it rains,
today the sun is shining.
The sun still shines. The sun is shining. His name is Tough Talkin' Troy Hall. My name is Jason Dias from the studios of eloquentonline.net. Until next we speak, Troy and I will talk to you next week. Have a great week. Bye.
The end of all, folks.